Take your, you have a piece of paper that was given out. It has all our verses on it. I did it last week and I found it just as good that I can just flow right through it. I know it's good to look in your Bibles. Do keep bringing your Bibles, but I just moved to put this here because I'm jumping all around in the book of 1 Timothy, and I found it just helpful that you're reading right with me and I can emphasize things. Last week it was what not to do in church, and I trust you catch that because there are some good rules of we don't do this, but we do this. Today is what we do. We, you know, these things write that thou may know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. You know, we're going to tell you how to behave. Some of you misbehaving, okay? And it says the church of God, huh? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? Of what? Of what? Truth. Man, that's a big word. It needs to be emphasized in our day. Because we have a day where everybody thinks of, well, there is no absolute truth. I want you to know there is absolute truth. And that's very important. This is the Word of God. And it's very important that we understand that's what we build our church upon. It's God's way of doing church. And he has a lot to say. Next week, I am on ladies. Do you know 1 Timothy has a lot to say about ladies and women? There's a lot. I want you to read it there. I got it on your paper there. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. There is some in 3. There is some in 4. There is some in 5. We're going to be hitting the whole book on ladies, women, widows. There's a lot in the Bible in 1 Timothy on God's blessing mothers. Very, very good. Today it's on men. It pointly comes out here and says, men! Chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody look at the paper there. Men, pray holy prayers. Men, pray prayers. Look at it says, I desire then that in how many places? That's pretty heavy. Everywhere. That who should pray? Who should pray? Men. Why did he, should women pray too? Men should be the leaders in prayer. That's what it's saying. Ever thought about it? We have the responsibility on our shoulders as men to support the family. You know, to have a house and clothes and food, protect. Is that right? That's our job as men. That requires a lot of prayer. Because I don't know, you know, here I'm 66 years old and I've been providing for my family all these years. So have you. And I just sat down yesterday and realized, how'd I do it? How'd I do it? I hope it overwhelms you as dads, because we're here to support, we're here to supply, we're here to protect. Is that right? We're here to love, and men are very important, okay? But we have a lot on our shoulders. Is that right? We're going to stand before God in front of all of our family. We're going to stand there first. Our wives are going to be behind us. Our kids are going to be behind our wives. We're men made to be the leaders. And let me tell you, if you're any type of leader, you really need to pray. Help me, Jesus. You ladies need to pray too. I'm going to hit y'all next week, okay? You need to pray, especially when you're giving birth to a child. You really need to pray, okay? Okay? And, you know, but men, I'm on men this week. It just says men. It does not command women to pray like it commands men to pray. Men, we need to be the best prayers. That means you give a lot of time to it. You think about it. You're praying. Should we be praying all the time? It should be a constant. Pray without what? It should be constant. And to realize I need God. I need God's help in supplying my family, supporting my family, protecting my family. I can't do it. I can't do it. God, I need your help. I need your help today in my job. I need your help today in making wise choices. I need your help in leading my wife and guiding my spiritual side of my family. Huh? You know, wow. Hope you realize, men, pray. 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 All prayer is saying, God, I can't and you can, so I'm asking your help. You're awesome, God. You did this in the past, you know, for 66 years He's been taking care of me. Wow. And I have 2 sons and a daughter, 6 grandkids. I'm a blessed man, huh? And God did it. Is that right? God did it. God did it. And, you know, I don't know how, but God did it. I have 2 boys in the ministry. God did it. I take no credit. God did it. We have a daughter that's a school teacher down in Florida. The wildest school teacher ever laid eyes on. The best. Okay. How did we get? I don't know. I did some dumb things, you know. I made her stay in the water too long, and I, you know, you do things. You, oh well, Dad, why did you do that? I don't know. You know, we make dumb moves, don't we? Men make dumb moves. We do. We need prayer. I'm gonna go. I could stay there all morning. Men, you should be the prayer of your home. Too often, who's the prayer of our homes? The wives, the women. Men, well, I'm too busy to pray. No, you have too big a responsibility not to pray. And you can pray a lot of different ways. When you're driving, you just don't close your eyes. Or it'll be your last prayer. That's terrible. Pray. Okay. Let me move on. What's the next thing it says? It says how to pray. It says men pray, comma. Then it says, now here's this. Lifting what kind of hands? Holy hands, okay? In the culture of the Hebrews in the Old Testament, you if you looked up lifting hands, you'll find it in the book of Psalms. And it was just a natural way of they praying. They blessed people. When they blessed their family, they put their hands on them. Is that right? Touched their family and blessed them, okay? When they were praying, they would hold up their hands. It's natural to use your hands in prayer. We've been taught a little bit of hand raising in our culture. And all of this type of stuff. No, it's not. It was. God help me. When you talk, do you use your hands? It's very natural. We men, when we really get talking, you know, that's what it's talking about. Your praying is just more than talk. Hey, God, how you doing, bud? It's good to see you. No. It's all right. You're too much. It is no showboat. It's nothing. If you want to raise your hands in church, that's great. But it's not to draw any attention to you. Okay? It's to be, God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. The prayers that were they're lifting hands in the book of Psalms, you know, there's a war going on, you know, it's needed. It's not just a quickie. To pray is agony, is earnest, fervent. Is that right? Heavy. Jesus prayed such strong prayers in the garden that it was almost like he was bleeding. He wasn't. His sweat was just pouring off his head. The Bible says when you pray, go into your closet and talk to God. And you're praying so intensely and so earnestly and you're sweating. And when you come out of your closet praying, you have to do what? You have to take a bath. You have to wash up. That's praying. And that's just not just little. That's, God, you got to help me. One of the heaviest prayers, Andrew, when he's a little boy, was told he might have cystic fibrosis. He had a test, and we had to wait a whole week for the test to come back. Those are terrible weeks. Come back in 7 days and we'll tell you the results. Do you pray a lot that week? Oh my, do you really pray? You really pray. There's a level of prayer, is that right? I drove over to the doctor's office by myself, praying the whole way, crying the whole way, wondering what's going to happen, change our lives. Walked up to the desk and said, Mike Fisher. And the lady looked through the paper and said, negative. Do you think I was raising my hands and shouting and jumping up? And woo! Yes. Yes, crying, rejoicing. When God does that, don't hold it back, huh? Don't hold it back. Shout, scream, holler. Grab all the women, kiss them, you know. No. Hug them. Yeah. It's men pray. Use your whole body. Really mean it. Okay? We do it a little differently in our day. Is that right? Okay. We have a lot of showboating going on today, and we don't need that. But it says holy hands. Doesn't just say hands. It says holy hands. In this same verse, what would be the opposite of holy hands in this verse? This verse. What's the opposite of holy hands? Two opposites. What are they? Anger and what? Quarreling. When you're angry, can you pray holy prayers? No. When you're quarreling with your mate or with your children or with somebody else, can you pray holy prayers? No. That's all it's saying. Now, men, you guard your anger, because when you're angry, you're not going to pray well. When you're quarreling with somebody, arguing, fussing, you're not going to pray well. You pray holy prayers. Huh? Holy prayers. I'm going to move on, but that is a big one. Men should be the best prayers. And we should teach our kids to pray. Texting. Isn't it wonderful? Texting, you can text a prayer to somebody, huh? On Sunday mornings, I text my two boys and tell them I'm praying for them. Text real early, see if they're out of bed yet. Men, be holy prayers. The best. Better than your wife. That's what it says. Men, pray. Then the next verse we're going to get next week. It says, and ladies. Okay. Verse 1, it says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, that's requests, prayers, intercessions, personal for somebody else, thanksgiving as part of prayer, thank you, be made for all people. For kings and for all who are in high positions, our leaders, our representatives, our president, governor, that, here's why we are to pray, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified, honorable in every way. Do you know America has been blessed in that area? Do you consider yourself today living a quiet and peaceful life right now? Huh? In America? We are. We're blessed. You know, we're blessed. We can get in a car and we can drive all the way to Andrews and I don't have to stop for Gestapo. Is that right? Ronald can get on a plane and fly to Florida and get sunburned. You know, we live a pretty nice life. Is that right? We have police that protect us. We have fire. Is that right? We live in a pretty good town. That's called somebody's prayed. Somebody's praying. Are you one of those somebodies? Praying for our government, praying for our leadership. We have a messed up world. Is that right? Are you praying? It's command you to pray. Why? So that we can have a quiet and peaceable life. I was at the house on Friday and the school bus pulled up And it stayed there for about 4 or 5 minutes, backed up traffic way down front of my house. And I was out, I saw a traffic, so I come out. I was mowing grass, so I wanted something to distract me. I went out there, and the school bus was still sitting there. And a policeman was right next to my house, just one of the people backed up, and he realized something's going on, so he pulled in my yard to try to go over to the school bus, see if something was wrong, and nothing was wrong, so go back in his car. The boy that lived in the neighbor house just got moved out. They just moved out, so nobody was living there. Possibly he went to the wrong house. I don't know. Got on the wrong bus. I don't know. He was weeping. A 10th grader weeping. Moved my heart. Did I pray for him? Yes. Did I go over and talk to him? Yes. Did I offer assistance? Yes. Did he need my assistance? He didn't let me help him, but he did know I was praying for him. Do we need to pray for people? You know, that we leave. And also it says not just a quiet and peaceful life. Godliness. That's one thing we're missing in America. Godliness. It says godliness right there. And dignified, honorable, that we pray. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to get finished. Men, you ought to be the best prayers in your family. That's what it says. That's the question we're going to get asked. I think before our wives, we're going to get asked that in heaven, because it says men pray. Is that what it says? Men pray. It says, you can read the next verse, tells women what to do. But men pray. Next one down there, it says men managing their godly homes. In 1 Timothy 3, it says he, the man, must manage his own household well. He's the manager. He's the leader. With all dignity, honor, keeping his children in submission, in obedience, to lead the home. I think the wife manages the home and helps and deals with the children. We'll deal with that next week. But the man is the overall. Verse 12, it says by the deacons, it says, each be the husband of one wife. Be committed to her, devoted to her, loyal to her. One woman man is what it means. Managing their children and their own household well. Their own household. It's a partnership of husband and wife leading children. The children need to obey. Is that right? We're not having a children doing church. But children, your only request in your young years is children, what? Obey your parents. You're going to stand before God. Dad's going to be first. He's going to answer if he was a praying man. The wife's going to be there. Next week I'm going to tell all they're standing for. And then the children are going to be standing behind them. And they're going to answer to God how they obeyed their parents. Every one of you. Woo! Some of you need to call up your parents and apologize. Some adults need to do that too. You're going to answer to God. And it says to manage their home well and to lead in obedience and to lead in submission. The dad's got to teach all of those things. So important. You're responsible for your home. You're the leader. You're going to answer to God how your home was managed. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I'm just saying to you, the man is going to answer to God. You better learn how to love, better learn how to talk, you better learn how to manage well and lead by godliness. Last one here on 1 Timothy on the men caring for their home. It just says, your widows, your parents, your older parents. It says, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. I don't know why, you know, we have places that called places for mom. Have you seen that advertised on television? Why don't we have places for dad? Huh? Why? Because the women kill us all. It says widows here. It never never says, now you take care of the old men that lost their wives and they're in trouble and all that. No, it doesn't say that. I'm just kidding you. But it says, take care of the older people. Verse 4, but if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and to repay their parents by taking care of them. Is that being done enough in our culture today? No. Let me state this. If you want your kids to take care of you when you're old, you need to take care of whom? Your parents when they're old. We need to get that going. You need to get that going. Maybe our culture has forgot it, but we need not to forget it. It's a God law. Is that right? It's a rule. Men, you're responsible. Take care of your parents. And this pleases God. The next one, down at the bottom of the front page, it says, let no man despise you for your youth. Now, it's talking about younger men. Timothy, we don't know. This is a godly example. We don't know how old Timothy was, but a man in the culture didn't become a man till he was 30. So if he was younger than that, maybe Timothy was younger than that. We don't know, but he's talking to Timothy as a young pastor. And he says, now you don't let anybody despise your youth. You can't do anything about how old you are. Is that right? And God called you to be the man that follows me. And I, Paul, am getting old, and Timothy's coming up. And Timothy, you're this age. Now don't let any of the older people walk up until you say, you're too old, you're too young. Look what it says. Back page. I'm almost halfway through and I got a lot of time left. It's exciting. On the back page it says, but set the believers an example in five things: speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. I've written them all there. Showing maturity in how and what you say. Men under 30, teenagers, be mature. Show maturity in how you talk. And then in contact, show wisdom in the way you act and react. Show maturity in how you respond. And then love, selflessness, self-sacrificing, generosity. You should be that way even in your youth. And faith is more faithfulness, trustworthy, authentic, intentional. Don't just do things. Do them intentionally. You have a plan. You have a program. You do it orderly. Young men, do this. And then last, purity. Honest, truthful, modest, moral. Okay, don't let anybody despise you. You're pretty young. You're not 30 yet. You're not 40. No. You show them maturity. You show them wisdom. You show them love. You show them faith. You show them purity. And that's awesome, huh? You're the leader. And you're young. Be mature. Be wise. Show it. Verse 13, it says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture. Okay? The King James doesn't show this side of it, but that's what it means, is the public reading of Scripture. That the Scriptures are the only source of truth. Is that exciting? Read the Bible publicly. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we have the Bible. That's why I print the Bible. That's why we open our Bibles. The Bible reading, it's the source of truth. Nothing else is. If you want to know what to do in life, you want to know God's will, you want to know how to get along, how to have a job, how to deal with people, open your Bible. Is that right? Read it. And then secondly, it says, use the Scriptures for exhortation. It means encouraging, inspiring, motivating, advising with biblical truth, to teach, to train, training, proclaiming, and explaining biblical truth. Timothy, you be a man that knows how to open the Bible publicly. You be a man that knows how to exhort. You be a man that knows how to teach. Amen? And you realize, wow, that's what we need. And that's exciting. And then verse 14. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I want you to go look at Romans chapter 12. Don't neglect the spiritual gifts you have. Do all of us have some spiritual gifts? Well, I don't think I have too much. You're not to think you have too much. But just see how God uses you. God wants to use you. Men, boys, teenagers. God wants to use you. He wants to use you to help, to care, to organize. There's all kinds to serve, to teach. There's all kinds of things to care, to love. Romans chapter 12, read it. And it's wonderful to know that you're using your gifts. It's wonderful to be gifted, huh? To be gifted. For a preacher to be gifted. It's wonderful. To use them humbly is awesome. It's awesome. And then it says, practice these things. Get better at it. Get better at it. Be a great speaker, exhorter, public reader. Get real good at it. The New Living says, give your complete attention to these spiritual matters. And then it says, immerse yourself in them. The New Living says, throw yourself into your ministry task. If you're going to do something, I mowed the grass on Friday when it quit raining. I was wanting to mow it on Monday, but by Friday I thought I needed a goat. Okay. But I got it mowed. Isn't it wonderful to look out after you mow the grass and see it all done and all the lines and everything? And you just sit here, you know, immerse yourself into it and get her done and get her done well. Is that right? And for a young leader here to do things well and you're all in on this. He immersed himself in it. Don't just do a little bit, man, do it well and just make it your whole life. It is who you are. It's everything. And then it says, so that all may see your progress, that all may see what you accomplish and they realize it. And then verse 16, watch closely to yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for in doing you will save both yourself and them that hear you. Be the best young preacher you can be. Amen. We have a young preacher coming up that is the best young preacher he can be. Amen. I'm excited. We're going to be voting on Pastor Kyle in September 15, and it's coming quick, and I'm excited. And all these qualities here, God's blessed. He immerses himself in it. And amazing. Next one, 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, be men of honorable leadership. It says, let the elders, the ones in the first one, the examples are the young ones, and this is the old ones. Let the old ones rule, honorable leadership, rule well. And then in verse 20-21, it says, let these rules be without prejudging or partiality. We older men are to lead. Huh? We're to lead. Young men are to lead. Set the pace, but be honorable leader. That is so important. And we're the leaders. And so we set by example. And we set by humility. And we ask for forgiveness because we mess up. Is that right? We're a leader. Godliness. Be an honorable leader. Men, in your homes, at work. Oh, preacher, I just don't know how to do it. Neither do I. That's why you got to be a prayer. Is that right? That's why you got to be a Bible man. And then you realize God will help you, and then you start leading. You start walking and making decisions and giving direction, and you realize, God help me, God help me. Get your Bible that whole time. Is that right? But we're the leaders. God made men leaders. God made boys to be men to be leaders. And our day is messing all of that up. Is that true? And we need to make certain of that. And our day needs to note that, you know, all the boys stand up. Today are you sure you're a boy? No. God made you a boy. All the boys line up, you know. It used to be that way. All the girls over here. Now they're saying, oh. Isn't that a shame? That's a shame. God made it. God didn't make anything else. Made men and women, period. Our whole day is messed up on that. And young people, there's a lot going on. It's in commercials, it's in teaching, it's in curriculum, it's everywhere. I want you to know God made man and woman. Male, female, no in between. You don't choose it. It's very important. And the boys become men and the girls become ladies. Don't get me on that. That's pretty heavy. First, the next one's at the bottom there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, 19. Men with a clear conscience. I want to close with this one. The last one should take care of itself. Everybody talk. Let's talk. Men, you got to have a clear conscience. A clear conscience is everything you can think of. There is nothing that you need to make right or to do differently. You have a clear conscience of what you've done in the past. If you have something that, when I say that, pops in your mind that you've said this and not made it right, or done this and not made it right, judged people, not made it right, we got to have a clear conscience. That's what this is all about. 2 points of communion. To say, thank you, Jesus. 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 For forgiving my sins. Thank you. Thank you. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve it. I might sin tomorrow, but thank you for forgiving my sins today. Right now. Second reason is to search our soul whether we need to repent of something we haven't, or stop something we haven't, or start something we need to do. A clear conscience. I want every man, you're the leader in this clear conscience. Your motives, your actions. You know, don't do as I do as I say. No. Clear conscience. And then the last one is that He is your highest treasure. Jesus, my highest treasure. He's the only one that can preserve my family. He's the only one that can keep me doing right. He's the only one that can help my family do right, make my kids turn out right. Huh? He's everything. He's the only one that can take me to heaven. Is that right? He's the boss. He's my highest treasure. Big statement. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me talk to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to adjust it from just men to everybody. Everybody. Men, boys, ladies, girls, everybody. Everybody. Teenagers, everybody. Children. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Men are to be the best prayers. Men, up your prayer life. Everywhere, men pray. Holy prayers, lifting holy hands. No anger, no quarreling. Pray. I hope it's been convicting to you and realize I gotta pray. I gotta pray. My job's huge. I'm responsible for my whole family. I can't blow it here. I can't just lose my cool here. I can't cuss and swear. I can't. My prayer life. Your leadership life. Your godly example. Do your kids know that Jesus is your highest treasure? He's the tops. And a clear conscience. I want a clear conscience. I want everybody to, you can get a clear conscience right here this morning. All that means is if God is pricking you, convicting you, showing you things that you've not made right with God or man, things that you've done wrong, things that you need to start doing, you're not doing those things you're supposed to be doing, your conscience is pricking you to stop doing some things, your conscience is pricking you to start doing some holy, godly things. I want you to have a pure conscience. Taking communion should be a time when your conscience is completely clear, that your sins have been forgiven, you've repented of everything you know, and you've made commitments to God to start some things you're not doing, and then you take communion. That's the purpose. With a clean heart, with a fully forgiven, fully restored, fully making new commitments, right with God, right direction. many this morning, men, boys, ladies, girls, all ages. Preacher, I'm doing some real making things right with God. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's clear conscience. Maybe it's leadership. Maybe it's setting the example. Preacher, God's dealing with me, and I'm doing some real soul searching and making some things right and making some fresh commitments right now. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Amen, 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 amen. Pray for me, preacher, in these areas. Pray for me, pray for me. I want to be a changed man. I want to do it God's way. I want to be doing church, responding, acting, living every day, a Christian, God's way. Any others? Preacher, pray for me. Put me in this prayer. Put me in this prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus, help every person here as we take communion to take it, knowing that they've made right everything that's on their heart and their mind and their soul. If it's not being revealed, it's not to be dealt with. But everything that they can think of, they've made right or promised to do right. Lord, make men the lead prayers. Make men the lead examples. Make men the home builders. Make men the issue of a clear conscience. Make men to lead in you being the highest treasure. Bless this communion time and change our lives and make us leave here completely forgiven with a clear conscience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.